The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
This morning at HQ, we have someone that is very, 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 very special. He's my brother and my friend, and he's not a stranger here. He's been a blessing to us over the years, amazingly. We've come a long way together. I mean, with his family, his wife, it's also an amazing blessing to my family. I mean, and the children, it's just a blessing to have them. And we trust God that today is going to be special. So let's introduce our guest speaker today.
A lonely, difficult road that is supposed to lead to your destination can kill you unless God helps you. If it was easy to escape, nobody will be in any trouble anymore. Nobody. If it was easy to get out of the mess that you are in, you will have gotten out immediately. Sooner than later, every one of us will get to a point when we realize that unless God helps us in a particular manner, we are finished. The narrow quality of the way of escape means that road cannot take a lot of baggage. There are some tough decisions you need to make, some tough actions you need to take. It's important to know the markers of the way of escape, so that you will not fall to the deception of the devil, and so that you can also take the way. The way of escape requires help from above.
Pastor Olushola Adewale is a teacher of the Word of God. He is the pastor of the New Springs Parish of the Redeemed Christian Church of God at Maryland, Ikeja. He believes that anyone can reach any height as long as they walk right with God. God has given him an assignment to preach the message of personal excellence and make disciples of Christ out of everyone he comes into contact with. In addition, Pastor Olushola Adewale is a partner at PwC and leads the firm's HR consulting practice in West Africa. He is happily married to the love of his life, Pastor Omawumi Adewale, and they are blessed with children.
So let's put our hands together and be on our feet as we give a dear fit welcome to Pastor Olusola Adewale. Let's keep clapping.
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. I trust that T-Pain is not getting here, because the GFH I used to know, and I was still here last year, when we clap for Jesus, we really clap. We really clap. Amen. 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 Keep clapping for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And then before you, amen, praise the Lord. Before you take a seat, I want you to, you know, church should be fellowship. One of the challenges of the way we do church in this part of the world is that we really dress up. We dress up. You know, like my dear friend who is here with me, Daniel, he's wearing a waistcoat and a tie. I almost copied him. So we're not always as authentic as we should be. As many as we are here all dressed up, so are the diversities of our challenges. And so sometimes people come to church and they just need someone to hug them. Someone to just say a kind word to them. So I want you to please help me look for 21, start practicing the 21 days. Look for 21 people, the one you can hug, the one you can give a high five, and just tell them God is in your story. 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 Whatever it is, it's addiction, it's depression, it's disappointment, it's failure, it's lack, it's delays, God is in your story. All right, if you are up to 10 now, you can take your seats. You can finish the 21 after service. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Amen. Amen. I know you can do the next one seated. Many times we look at people ahead and we think, oh, they have no problems. They don't need prayers. But whether you like it or not, those who are ahead need more prayers than those who are behind. So if you don't mind, would you please just lift up your two hands and say a word of prayer for Pastor Femi Monet, Apostle Femi Monet. Just say a word of prayer for him. Pray that the Almighty God will keep him, protect him and his wife, their children, keep them in good health, keep them in faith, protect their journeys, perfect all that concerns them, grant their deepest heart's desires. Pray that God will build a wall of his fire around them. And the fire on their altars will never, ever go down. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. May the Lord keep us all in Jesus' name. It's always a joy to be here. I want to say a big thank you to Pastor Apostle. I need to get used to that. Apostle Femi Monet and Pastor Etohan, Pastor Kule, Pastor Moralake. I keep forgetting Pastor Asote's name. God bless you. And thanks for all the leaders in the house for all the great stuff. Go ahead, let's put our hands together for them. Amen. Pastor Femi said I'm his friend and brother. True. But what he always leaves out is that, you know, he was a very fundamental part of my growth as a Christian. He baptized me, actually. So when I saw those baptismal pictures, I remembered my own baptism. And when I came to Christ, I needed, and as I still do, I needed friendship. I needed fellowship. And he was, we call ourselves comrades, you know, he was a stronger, more mature Christian. So he played a big role in my helping me to stabilize. And I pray that God will continue to lift him high in Jesus' name. I bring a message this morning titled, God's New Stories. By the way, just to correct, so that I'm not accused of spreading, what's Trump's on, eh? Fake news. I was a partner at PwC until October last year. Now I run my own consulting practice. And in 1 year, God has been extremely, extremely gracious. Amen. Amen. Great time at PwC, but just needed to correct that. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Acts 19, 11. If you are there, say a big amen. And we can read to 12, actually. Let's read together as one. Now, God worked unusual. Let's read together. Is that okay? I forget. New King James Version. Forgive me, I'm old school. Is that okay? Good. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. How many people know Apostle Paul? Well, you've heard of him. If you've read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, Hebrews, then you've met Apostle Paul. The life of this gentleman gives us some very important revelations about the stories, the new stories that God writes about our lives. Because if you know Apostle Paul, he was not just an enemy of the church, he was an adversary of the church. There's a difference between an enemy and an adversary. An adversary is an active enemy, you know, one who goes after you. Paul woke up every day looking for how he would kill Christians and how he would throw them into prison. Yet, God looked for who he would make the chief of apostles. He didn't find any better person than his arch enemy. And God used that life that was determined to quench the gospel, used that life and made a new story out of it. I pray that that same unchanging God will take your life and write a great new story of awesome wonder in Jesus' name. Every story bears the signature of the author. For those of us who are a bit older, you will remember James Hadley Chase, huh? And the ladies will remember Mills and Boone, huh? You know, all of us in secondary school read Shakespeare, you know, Wole Soyinka, and so on and so forth. When you pick up a James Hadley Chase book or John Grisham book, you could tell the plot. You could see the signature of the author. And if you were an avid reader of a particular author, even if the covers were torn, you would know that it's not my author that wrote this particular one. God's signature was evident in Paul's new story as a channel of special miracles, as we just read. In Paul's life, we see the handwriting of God. And since God does not change, I want us this morning to look at what the new stories of God look like. So that if there is any of us that needs a new story today or needs a new story tomorrow, we can draw on that quality of God and receive our new stories. Anybody interested in that at all? By the way, for those of us who are very strong Christians, story is another word for testimony. Amen? So if you want, anybody want a new testimony? Now I'm connecting with you. Now, number one, God's new stories are always full of grace and mercy. Always. When God wants to give you a new testimony, you will see a pattern of grace and mercy in it. Everything about Paul's track record disqualified him from being chosen and used by God. Everything about him. I mean, this guy was an accessory to murder. The Bible says the people who stoned Stephen, they kept their clothes at Paul's feet. And Paul was consenting. And they stoned this guy in broad daylight just for preaching the gospel. But when you go to Acts chapter 9, verse 15, Acts chapter 9, verse 15, this author of new stories wrote something that is almost scandalous. He said, Paul is a chosen vessel to represent me. How can God choose a murderer, his enemy, to represent him? It is God's sovereign, unquestionable handwriting to choose to have mercy on anyone that he pleases. Anyone. You may think different. Other people may think different. The people may say, crucify him, kill him. But if God says, I will have mercy on whom I choose to have mercy. My prayer is that in your life, God will, in his sovereign will, decide to show you mercy today. This amen is very chill. I always tell people to pray for me, so you see how to say amen. Amen? There are several stories in the Bible that tell us that God is rich in mercy. Let's look at a few. David was unqualified. Not only unqualified, but he was disqualified by his own parents and siblings. He was unqualified because he was a brief guy, you know. He was not strong enough to join the army. He wasn't tall enough to join the army. And so they left him with sheep who are probably closer to his height. And David himself testified. And there may be one or two people like that here who have suffered a similar fate. He testified. He said, my mother and my father even did what? Forsook me. When he got to the battlefront to be a part of the action, his oldest brother said, what are you doing here? What exactly are you doing here? Have you left the sheep by themselves? He was excluded. But that's the one that God chose. You know, when the great man of God, you know, if there's anything like that in the Bible, you know, Samuel, who the Bible says, God did not allow a word from his mouth to fall to the ground. When Samuel entered the city, the elders, the rulers were shaking. Even Samuel looked at all the people and said, these people are better qualified than anybody else. But when David walked in the door, in 1 Samuel 16, God said, that man, that brief guy, is the one that I have chosen to be the next king. In those areas of your life where you have been unqualified, disqualified for not being capable, I pray that the God who chose David will choose you. Joseph was left for dead by his own siblings. There are some of us who have experienced sibling rivalry. And if you've never experienced it, I pray you never do. When the people who are supposed to protect you are the ones who decide to throw you to the dogs. Joseph was the second to the last born. His own siblings threw him in the pit. Thought he would die there. He didn't die. Then they sold him into slavery and said, hopefully by the time he gets to Egypt, he will die. He refused to die. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to die. I'm going to reach my goal. The guy didn't die. When his brothers saw him later, they didn't recognize him because they thought he would be dead. You don't look for the dead among the living. Then, as if that was not enough, he was framed by his master's wife. Now, Joseph was not supposed to survive the prison. But yet, God chose him. I pray that no matter what betrayal you have suffered, no matter what abandonment you suffered, I pray that you will experience God's mercy in the name of Jesus. You know, I can preach without praying, so if you're not going to say good amens, I'll stop praying. Amen. There was a lady called Mary Magdalene in Luke chapter 8. She was possessed by 7 demons. 7. You know, if I said to you that the person sitting next to you, let's make it nice, you know, your brother comes and says, I want to get married, and the girl, I want to get married, is that one that they cast out 7 demons out of in Bogota? Pastor Femi sent her to Nigeria to come and join the choir. So that's the one you want to marry. But the Bible says Jesus made her one of his inner caucus. She was one of the 3 people who went everywhere with Jesus. And who was the first person to see the resurrected king? She was the one. I'm trying to tell you about a God that most people don't know. Most Christians don't know. And I will show you in the Bible. Because when they said to Ananias, one of the foremost apostles of the time, when Jesus told him in Acts chapter 9 that he should go and minister to Paul so that he might receive his sight, Apostle Paul was telling Jesus, the one whose name is the truth, the one who knows all things, the one who they were persecuting, he said, "Don't you, this Apostle Paul is supposed to die from that blindness. He's our enemy. He's the one who has been hindering the energizing of the church, the growth of the church." And Jesus Christ said, "It's okay. I have already chosen him." Has the world written you off? Or have you disqualified yourself? I bring a new message to you today. God is writing his mercy into your story. And it may not be your story, it may be the story of your wife, your husband, your child, your father, your mother. The God we serve, it is his signature to look at a despicable story and rewrite it brand new. Your life will still radiate his mercy in the name of Jesus. That's the very essence of who God is, rich in grace and mercy. Number two, God's new stories are filled with light. I'm sure you know there are usually about 3 points, so we're almost there. God's new stories are always filled with brightness, with light. Paul was in deep darkness. Even though he was a learned man of noble birth, but the evidence of his life was that he lived his life running around in circles. I mean, let's read about that in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. New King James still. Acts 9, 1 to 2. This is what, if you know Apostle Paul, you could spend some time studying him. You know, he once said, boasted about his noble birth, Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, you know, a man of letters. But look at what he spent his life doing. Imagine a senior advocate of Nigeria doing this. Said, then Saul, then he was called, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So his missionary journeys at the beginning of his life was looking for people to destroy. You know, there are people like that. You know, there are people in this world whose lives are so dark that they never think anything good of others. And someone said, you know, hurt people, hurt people. And it's usually a sign that they also don't think anything really good about themselves. But you know, God hasn't written people like that off also. God can still save the darkest person. Some of us, it's not others who have a dark view of us or any other thing. Some of us, because of the challenges we've had in life, we only have a gloomy picture of our futures. There are people, and I'm sure you've met them, and you may be one of them, we don't really expect much from life. We've been through so much. We've messed up so many times. Been disappointed so many times, lost too many opportunities. People have spoken so badly about us, and sometimes, in truth, we are the cause. But you see, when God decides to have mercy on you, his light will shine through your darkest night. I know this is a very difficult concept for most people to believe or to grasp, and that's why I brought it to you today, for you to get today and hopefully get in the future. I tell people, for example, there are people in leadership in Nigeria, they will forever remain unnamed, that there are people like us who don't believe they should be in office. Yeah. You see, I told you. But how many people know that the Bible says that there is no authority, even the one that rigged it, that God did not permit? See, that thing shatters our theology. That God doesn't come to GFH or Redeem to come and ask, please vote and decide who will be the next president. You know, God allows things. He does things. Imagine the darkness of the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 1 to 30. It's a story you should spend some time reading. You know, what I love about that story is how Jesus went to look for her. She was, number one, a Samaritan woman. Historically, the Jews were not supposed to ever touch the Samaritans. They were seen as unclean. But this woman didn't just come from the unclean side of town. She was chief Mrs. Unclean. She had had 5 husbands. 5 husbands down, and she was still counting. As they say in the street nowadays, body count uncountable. Pastor Kuli is embarrassed, you know. He's always been a Christian, so doesn't get all these things. But Jesus, the light of the world, looked for who to spend his afternoon with. He didn't choose even his own disciples. He chose the one that nobody would want to be with. And by the end of that story, that woman went into town. The woman who you would never choose to be your evangelist. Jesus chose her. She went into town and said, come and meet the man who has told me the story of my life. The whole city followed her. The whole city followed her. What kind of God? And you need to know this God. You need to know him. You know, the Bible tells us that those who do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. You really need to know God for yourself. Because what kind of God works special miracles through the hands of his persecutor? The Christianity that many of us know is that anybody who is our enemy must fall down and die. You know, when I was a much younger pastor, one woman came into my office with her husband. And she used to, in our church then, she used to present herself as being someone who has dreams or whatever. And she came to me and said, you know, she had a dream that another sister in church died. That she died. You know, that's why Lily needs to be careful. So when she finished speaking, I put my head down. I said, madam, please, repent. Don't think I didn't know that you and this sister had a major blowout in the auditorium last week. They had such a major blowout that I heard about it. And then the next week she said she died. How would she not die? What kind of God pays personal attention to a woman who has had 5 marriages? And was now living outside wedlock with her lover? Only a God whose light can dispel any darkness. Only a God whose blood cleanses from all sin. That is a God who looked for someone to make an evangelist, and he went to the graveyard and found a man who was possessed by a legion of demons, thousands of demons. and he delivered him, made him a man of a sound mind, and that man began to preach the gospel in 10 cities. That God is here for you today. Are you in a darkness or a dark spot of any kind? Totally buried in sickness, oppression, stagnation, condemnation, rejection, depression. He's here today to shed his light into your story. And he will, if you will let him. I pray that after today, for the rest of your life, you will never consider your case beyond God's repair. In the mighty name of Jesus. Which leads us to the third point. God's new stories are testimonies of his power. They're testimonies of his grace and mercy, of his light, the power of his light over darkness. And they are testimonies of his power. You see, one day Saul went from high to low and then back up again. You know, he was struck down on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. He went from being struck down He went from being struck down to being lifted up. And then he began to do special miracles. Isn't it a wonder that this Paul ended up writing more books in the Bible than even the people like Peter and John who spent more time with Jesus Christ? That's how God does things. He does things just to show his power. In his word, he said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, 1 Samuel 2 to 6, chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, he said, I want us to read that verse actually, 1 Samuel 2, 6, he says, I lift up and I bring down, and I pray that he will lift you up. 1 Samuel chapter 2 from verse 6. It said, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Amen. All power belongs to God, my brothers and sisters. Never let any human being or any system or any organization or any nation make you feel that your destiny is in their hands. When God works, when God says, I'm going to write a new story of your life, no power, no device on earth can stop him. At your convenience, you want to read Isaiah 43, verse 10 to 21. Isaiah 43, 10 to 21, and then Isaiah 54, from verse 4 to 17. I just bring one statement out of there. He says, I will walk, and who will stop me? The earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof. If they say that, oh, they've shut the door to you in Nigeria, God can open the door to you in America. If they say they've shut the door to you in Canada, God can open the door to you in Nigeria. You know, I have lived in a couple of countries in my time. And, you know, I'd probably like to retire somewhere nice, you know, in a few years. But Nigeria is a beautiful country. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Things are happening in Nigeria. You will be surprised. What you need to do is to pray that God will show you where it is happening. And put you there. let's leave that one for another day. Now, God has all power on earth and in heaven to rewrite the entire story of your life. He has the power. And because he has all power, his methods are purely his. He can rewrite by restoring what you have lost. He can rewrite by healing what has been broken and diseased. But he has the power to tear the whole story and completely and write a brand new one. Ask the man who was delivered of thousands of demons. The Bible says when they saw him in Mark chapter 5 and he was in a sound mind, they could not believe it. There was no relationship between the man who was in the grave, possessed by demons, tearing his own body with stones, and the man who was sitting beside Jesus Christ. May I pray for someone here who will believe that, who will believe in the power of God, that before the 31st of December this year, other people may last a year, 10 years. Before the end of this year, God is going to tear your whole story. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Does it show you believe? Yeah. In one move, just one move, just one move, he'll write a brand new story entirely in Jesus' name. If you don't believe, ask Esther the slave who was also an orphan. Esther was a slave, and yet she was an orphan. But in one night, before the sun sets, one day she became a queen. That's God. That's God. But it will happen if you believe him. Yeah? Amen. All of the power to rewrite and write a new story is in Jesus. So, as I conclude, how can my life be one of God's new stories? You see, to understand that question, you need to understand the art of writing. And I love to write. I love pens with a passion. All kinds of pens. And I love nice paper as well. And I love typing on the keyboard too. You see, when you are writing freehand or with a keyboard, and you want to write well, you need a blank sheet of paper to write a new story. You need a blank sheet of paper. And that's where Jesus comes in. If your life is in darkness, if your life is stagnant, if you are losing the battle of life, God can help you. But you need to let him wipe the page clean. There are some of us who have journals that are full of things we've written since January. And then you are in a meeting, you want to write the meeting of that meeting, you write everything there also. That's not how God writes his own new stories. He needs a clean sheet of paper. And this Paul that we've talked about today, that's how his new story started. In Acts chapter 9, verse 5 to 6. Acts 9, 5 to 6. Once he realized that Jesus was interested in his story, he surrendered. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want a new story written about your life, then you must surrender the pages of your life, the book of your life, to Jesus. Jesus told him something. He said, "Why are you kicking against the thorns? You can't keep the old sheet and expect God to write a new story." See, once your sheet is clean, then you need to go now and start writing as he instructs, taking new actions that lead to new destinies. And you may say, "Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have any clean sheet to give him. I've tried so many times. I've tried to start over so many times. I have failed." I have good news for you. All God is asking you for, as he did for Apostle Paul, is surrender. Leave the cleansing to him. The Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses from how many sins? All. He cleanses not just from all sin, he cleanses from every stain in your past. He cleanses from every disappointment. He cleanses from everything that has been said about you by your parents, by your enemies, by Nigeria, by life. God can wipe it out. But he needs one thing: surrender. And so, I want to close. You know, Paul did something very profound in the Bible when he realized that he needed a new beginning. When he realized that this fighting with his maker was a waste of time, he asked Jesus one question in Acts chapter 9. Please find time to read it. Because we saw the end of his story in Acts 19 when he began to do great things, but we need to go back to the beginning. He said to Jesus, What do you want me to do? That was surrender. No longer, this is what I want to do. And then Jesus Christ said to him, this is how it's going to be. There are people here this morning in person and online that God is desperate to write a new story about your life. You know, new stories bring great glory to God. They prove to the world that the grave is not an end. That God turns graves into gardens. New stories prove to the world that the resurrection is real. God loves beautiful stories that don't have any blemish, but there's no such story. Jesus Christ said, in this world, you are going to have tribulations. I preached that in July last year when I was here. And so this morning, I want to give you an opportunity, if you are here in person or you are here online, I want to make two calls. I want that person who needs a new story. But you look at your life now and you say, Pastor, Jesus has to do this work by himself. He's willing to. He has all the light, all the power. He has everything. But you need to surrender to him. I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment. I'm not asking you to bow your heads because I want, like they say in my language, the conversation is in the eyes. If you are here in person or online and you need a new story, you need the Almighty God to say, I can do better with this. The pieces of your life have completely broken. I want to put you back together again as the choir sings usually. I'm going to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And then the second call is for anybody who is already in Christ, but who needs a new story. Maybe the story is already good, but you need a greater story. You need a better story. You need a more complete story. A more perfect story. Maybe you are like Naaman, who's rich, rich general, but there's a little leprosy under your skin. There's a little blemish. God wants to clean you up. Shall we bow our heads to pray? I want you to meditate over what you heard. Ask, what is the Spirit of God saying to you? The thing about new stories is that you've got to write them. They've got to start. They don't evolve. There has to be an inflection point. And maybe it's not you, maybe it's your brother, your sister, your spouse. And so I'm going to make the call now. If you are here and you are saying, Pastor, would you please pray with me? I want to surrender for Jesus, for the blood of the Lamb shed at Calvary to cleanse me and to give me a new story. Would you please stand on your feet wherever you are? Stand. If you are home, you can stand in front of your screen. If you are here, you say, Pastor, would you please pray with me? I want the blood of the Lamb to wipe me clean and write a new story of my life. Would you please stand on your feet? Just stand quickly. Just stand. Is there anyone here or online who's saying, Pastor, would you please pray with me? I want a brand new story in my life. And so I want to surrender to Jesus this morning. Would you please stand? This is the final call. Just stand on your feet. Nothing to be ashamed about. The enemy will say to you that it's okay. Things will get better. Things have to be made better. God says, behold, I make all things new. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Shall we all please just rise on our feet? And if you do need a new story, why don't you lift up your voice to Him now and just cry to Him and say, Father. Cry to Him and say, Father, write a brand new story of my life. Go ahead, talk to Him, talk to Him. Just for a moment or two, just cry to Him this morning. And say, Father, I pray that you write a brand new story in my life, in the life of my son, my wife, my daughter, my child, my cousin, my brother, my father. Write a story of health. Write a brand new story. Write a brand new story.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, write a brand new story in my life, in my home, in my marriage, my business. Write a brand new story with my children. Write a brand new story in my community. Write a brand new story in this nation, oh God. Father, write a brand new story in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, my Father, my King, write a brand new story, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. For the Lord. For the Lord. God bless you, sir. Thank you for that amazing word. God bless you, sir. God indeed will write new stories in your life too, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.